Originally from Mexico, the youngest woman out of nine children, I grew up seeing my mom and my aunts stand up for what they believed in. This meant that in our Mexican rural community, they fought so that we had access to portable water, electricity, phone lines. But education was the one thing we always struggled with. By the end of sixth grade, my sisters had to give up their education because of how far and remote our community was and how expensive it would be. In 2004, when I was 8 years old, my family made the decision to migrate to the United States without documents. Education opportunities played a big role in this decision. In the US, I was shocked. Everyone spoke only in English and had short names that made my five-word name stand out, and not in the good way. In the US, I also had double the education. I had K through 12 education. And with that came a big sense of responsibility. I knew a lot of people in Mexico who were also as passionate about learning as I was, but who were not going to be afforded the chance. In that moment, I thought of also of my mom, who also would have been that kind of person. In 2011, when I was a first year in high school, my mom passed away from cancer. When she passed away, it was sealed for me my commitment to honoring her by achieving my educational goals. So, as I was thinking about my mom, I held hope because undocumented students now, as I did back in 2014, 2011, have a hard difficulty accessing educational opportunities. Higher education is still very inaccessible, and our alternative community college is still expensive. But I held hope. I read and reread articles about undocumented students who got into their dream schools. I went to school, I went to work in the part-time, I volunteered throughout. When it came time to apply to college, I had well-meaning, well-intentioned educators and counselors tell me not to disclose my status, in the fear that that would actually lead them, the schools, not to accept me. But my undocumented identity and my migrant experience is so central to my values, to who I am as a person, that against their best wishes and after doing a few prayers, I went away and I disclosed it anyway. In the spring of 2014, I came home to my brother and we both together opened my email. Congratulations, you've been accepted to Princeton's grade class of 2014. 2018. I couldn't believe it. At Princeton, it was the first time I had my own room, my own bed. It was the first time I was financially stable. It was also the first time where I had a community of socially justice-minded people my age that care about social justice and that care about immigrants' rights. Through the campus dream team, a local migrants' rights group, I found folks that were also undocumented, who had undocumented parents, or who were great allies themselves. It was the first time I was openly undocumented to every single person. But Princeton wasn't perfect. It still failed to publicize that it admitted undocumented students like myself, gatekeeping for future applicants. It also had an area of growth for the resources it could offer undocumented students. So through the Dream Team, we advocated, we pushed the university to be better, to provide more resources. Most of the times, they just overlooked or dismissed our activism and our demands. Then September 2017 happened. On September 5th, I woke up to see then Attorney General Jeff Sessions in live television rescind the DACA program. And with that, jeopardizing my thesis research, which was dependent on international travel, I was going to be interviewing immigrants in Central America and Mexico. It also put in jeopardy what I would do post-graduation. I was starting my senior year of college. Would I even be allowed to work? I did not know. It was all uncertain. I didn't get up from my bed that morning. I felt tired, disillusioned. It seemed like we had been working for so long, and this was just regressing several steps back. I came back to campus, and a month later in October, I realized I was at least partially wrong. Guided by our Latina General Counsel, Princeton gathered all the undocumented DACA students into one room. Basically, it was a here's what we can do session. And I was surprised. Not only was Princeton listening to undocumented students, they were taking initiative. after years of activism in the student campus. So they said, well, as an institution, we can sue the Trump administration over the rescission of DACA, and students can join anonymously if they would like. But there are risks. Immediately, in my heart, I knew the decision. But I knew the risk would implicate my family. There will be publicity, and they will become targets for deportation. Several of my family members had no protection at all, no status. So I called my dad, and I called my sisters, and I told them about this and what I wanted to do. But mostly, I wanted to hear from them. They said, mostly all of them said, don't be scared. We're going to keep fighting, and we're here to support you. So I sent them the email response. And that guy wasn't perfect. It was never a perfect policy. But this was about us having a say in the decisions that directly impacted us. Immediately, I get a call from the firm that was leading the efforts. And they said, they reiterate, you do know you can be anonymous, but in your email, you say you want your full name. I said, well, if my family is willing to risk it all so that I participate in this lawsuit and in this fight, I want to risk it all too. Make sure my name is Maria de la Cruz Perales Sanchez. Long, long. But it included my mom's maiden name. And if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't even be in the stage or in that fight. It's been, it might be a couple months until we hear the decision from the Supreme Court that would dictate the future of the program. In this past 2 years, I've seen xenophobic attack against xenophobic attack. But at the same time, I've also seen the resiliency, the relentless drive, the faith of the community of migrants around me. We have mobilized outside the Supreme Court, alongside TPS and Central American holders. And the participation in this lawsuit is just one another avenue in which we're fighting. Institutions may fail us. They can and they will. But I believe that our community won't. My story is just one of many, so you will keep hearing from us. And when you do, be ready to stand up and be a good ally. Thank you.